And now the game where we talk to people who have accomplished an awful lot and ask them questions about things they didn't bother to notice because they were off accomplishing stuff. Now, we have talked to a lot of politicians on this show, but we have never enjoyed any of them more than we did a certain political spouse. Elizabeth Edwards first appeared on our show 2 years ago when her husband John was running for the Democratic presidential nomination. A lot's happened since then. She's written a book about some of those things called Resilience, which she has in spades. We are delighted to have her with us right here in person. Elizabeth Edwards, welcome back to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Glad to have you. So, been an interesting couple years. What's up with you?
I'm laying back now.
You're laying back.
Yep.
You're enjoying yourself. You're off the campaign trail.
Off of all of that.
You're just done.
I'm done.
No more of the public. You're not doing the public thing anymore.
Well, I mean, you have to, when you sell a book, you got to go.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. You've been out there, you know. Yep. We wanted to talk to you about your life here in Chapel Hill, where you've lived for many years, right?
I moved here first in 1969. But then I moved away for a while. I'm
right.
Back.
You're back.
Happily back.
And famously, you guys built a beautiful home near here, 1,600 square feet, we're told. Our question is, how big is the doghouse where your husband is living these days? You're just going to let does he have room to turn around?
I'm gesturing.
You're gesturing.
Because I know it's radio.
I know, exactly. Oh, but you should see her face. Now, you write about this in your book, what happened with your husband and so on and so forth, and a lot of people have asked, it's a serious question, that you wrote about it, you talk about it, but you are still here. You didn't go anywhere. You didn't leave.
I'm still here.
You're still here.
Yep.
And that was because you just decided that was best for you and your family?
I did. And it's not always a popular decision, but
no. No. I understand. Do you have any insight, as maybe you will, about the larger phenomenon of the misbehaving political male? There do seem to be a subgenre out there.
Yeah, we're certainly hearing more about it now with
Senator John Ensign this week. There was Senator Spitzer. Governor Spitzer.
Right.
I mean, is there something about these guys that just makes them dumber than? Or is it just that they're getting caught? I don't know.
Well, that's probably both of those. I mean, not both, obviously dumber because they're being followed by a lot of people and they're not paying attention to that. But they are followed, and other people besides their wives are paying attention to where they are at night. So that's obviously a feature. But I think it's a lot of attention is paid to people. I think you see it in entertainment. You see it in sports. I've seen it in journalists.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would ever want to fool around with a journalist, though? You've seen how those people dress, Elizabeth. My God.
Peter, I'm so hurt.
You see it with NPR personalities.
Oh, no, yeah. Right.
So imagine what Peter wears during a pledge drive.
Oh, Lord. Who knew there were so many wanton librarians in the
I wish.
Want to come home with me and then experience a morning edition? We'll listen to morning edition together.
After we consider all things.
Oh, it's getting so hot in here. I need some fresh air. All this car talk.
Click and clap.
Because you have been so open.
Wait, tell me.
That really is the least exciting sweet nothings I've ever heard. Elizabeth, back to you. Believe it or not, we're actually interested in you. Now, I know that you've been, in fact, something of an inspirational figure to other women who've gone through your health issues with cancer and such. We experienced that when we first talked to you. And you've experienced that. People have come up to you and found you and talked to you about their own experiences.
Yeah, I get a lot of that, actually, which is good and bad. You know, sometimes you want to escape from it, but most of the time it's really nice to feel that you've made a difference in somebody's life.
Right. Now, has that happened with the marital issues as well? People come up to you and go, you want to hear about a weasel?
Yes.
Oh!
I get a lot of very long letters detailing.
Really? Anything juicy you can share?
Not on the radio, no. Maybe later.
And what do you say to these people?
Honestly, I don't answer those letters. I don't know really what to do with that.
Wow.
You know, people make their own choices based on their own lives, and, you know, whatever they choose to do, that's right for them.
Right. Okay. But did you want to in any way set
butt
yourself
in?
Butt in?
No.
No, you didn't want to butt in.
No.
Wow. Are they at least fun to talk about with your girlfriends at night?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You probably don't remember this at all, but I went to a reception for your husband in 2003 or so in New York, and he was fielding questions, and I asked him about, you know, Bernard Shaw asked Michael Dukakis what he would do if, you know, given your position on capital punishment, what would you do if your wife were raped and murdered? And Dukakis sort of muttered and said, well, you know, sort of did this, gave a sort of abstract answer, which I thought was the end of Michael Dukakis right there.
Right.
And I said to John Edwards, I said, how would you answer that question? And a woman behind me said, yeah, I'd like to hear what he says about this. And he said, it wouldn't matter what my position was on capital punishment, I would kill him myself. And the woman who had said that, who was standing behind me, was you. I thought that was a nice moment.
That was great. Yeah. That was great. Well, Elizabeth Edwards, we're so delighted to have you back with us. But this time we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Lady, once you're on the court, they can't touch you. You can do whatever you want.
Sonia Sotomayor may be, as Newt Gingrich would have it, a racialist. But if confirmed, she will be far from the oddest justice who have served on the Supreme Court. We've got three questions about the men and women on occasion in black, taken from the new book, Secret Lives of the Supreme Court by Robert Schnackenberg. If you get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Elizabeth Edwards playing for?
Peter, she is playing for Hannah Schanzer from Chapel Hill.
Okay. First question, Justice John Marshall Harlan II was extremely collegial. In fact, he went out of his way to help his colleagues by doing which of these? A, he ordered their lunches for them based on his view of their dietary needs. B, he led them in calisthenics before each court session, whether they liked it or not. Or C, he regularly screened adult films in the basement to help them with their research into obscenity issues. Think about what you know about men in power. I just want you to use that harder knowledge before you answer.
Well, men do order for you. So.
Yes, they do that. They do that.
Given your intro, I kind of got to go with the view the X-rated movies.
You're right. Well done. Oh, from experience comes wisdom, Elizabeth. Yes. The adult film series in the basement of the Supreme Court went on for years. A lot of research to do. By the end of it, Harlan's eyesight had failed, and this is true. He had Justice Douglas narrate the action for him. All right, here we go. Next question. That's one for two. Here we go. Next question. Justice Thurgood Marshall. He was a giant of the law, we all know, but he had his quirks. Such as which of these? A, he always kept his hands inside his robes during arguments so he could play with his worry beads. B, that's what he said he was doing. B, he insisted that court adjourn every day at 1 p.m. so he could watch his favorite soap opera.
It was All My Children.
Or C, he wore horse blinders so he couldn't see the other justices, saying appearances would sway his thinking.
I kind of thought that it was the Chief Justice who adjourned, but somebody adjourned to watch All My Children, which did come on at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
So I think that maybe that's it.
You're going to go for that, the soap opera?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right again. Well done. Although, far be it from me for arguing. I don't know a dog in this fight, but Mr. Schnackenberg, in his book, says the soap opera was Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives doesn't come on at 1.
No, it's a 2. Sorry, it's a 2.
It doesn't come on. That's right. It does not come on at 1.
No. This is about Pine Valley. This is about Pine Valley. It was part of the Lucci doctrine.
It's a Susan Lucci show.
Really? Yeah. This is Susan Lucci show.
Yeah.
All right. This is great. Let's see if you can be
Days
perfect
Days of Our Lives. That's such an appeals court soap.
All right. Let's see if you can be even more perfect than you already are. Every year on March 8th, Justice Harry Blackmun used to celebrate a very personal holiday. What? A, the day he lost his virginity. B, the day he first realized he was smarter than everybody else, or C, the day he had his appendix removed?
He celebrated it every year.
Every year. Publicly. Today was the day, he'd say.
Appendix.
Yes, you're right. Blackmun was, for some reason, obsessed about the human appendix. He used to bore his colleagues about his appendectomy and other people's as well. Carl, how did Elizabeth Edwards do?
Elizabeth was perfect, Peter. Three correct answers.
Wow.
She
well
done. Answer.
This is great. We love this. We love having you come by here every 2 years or so, and we'd love for you to come back again in the future and as long as you care to.
Absolutely, and come back to North Carolina soon.
Elizabeth Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. She is a wife, mother, a lawyer, an advocate, and the author of the book Resilience on bookshelves now. Elizabeth Edwards, thank you so much
thank you,
for being with us
thank
again.
You.